Etanayam, Nikki Yasam Hilo, Nikki Machuptamaidu. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilo, and I'm Machuptamaidu. We acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machupta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machupta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
Hi everyone, welcome back to our podcast, First Generation, One of Many. We have a new episode for you guys and we're super excited to get started. But first and foremost, like I mentioned, we are First Generation, One of Many. Our mission is to create an archive of discussions with and about First Generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding, provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and students working for and collaborating with first-generation students. And I, of course, cannot do this alone, so I'd like to introduce my co-host, Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hi, Teresa. This is great, right, to be back. This is our first episode after the winter break.
Yes.
And so it's great to see you again and be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to see faces over Zoom. It's been a while.
Yeah, even if it's in the little tiny boxes, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, right? I'll take
at
that.
This point. Yeah, it's been great. And I know over the break, I just kept thinking like, oh, we're doing this. And we have been able to get a lot of things scheduled and a whole number of episodes coming up to record during the spring semester. But it got me excited and even more of like, okay, let's get to these recordings. And so today we have a very awesome episode we'll get to in a minute. But like tradition, we're going to go ahead and share a few quotes that are related to our topic. And today we have two quotes. One of them was shared with us by our guest. And the quote that was shared is from Michelangelo. I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set him free. Wow, that's, and I can see why our guest today finds that so powerful and really inspires her and her work. And then our second quote, when I first came across it, it reminded me of our guest. I was fortunate enough to work with our guest on her senior project when she was a junior in high school. And I did say her senior project when she was a junior, because that's how advanced in art that she was and is so dedicated to it and passionate and spends a majority of her waking hours. I'm sure she spends some of her sleeping hours actually working on art somehow, knowing her. But this quote really reminded me of her, the beginning of it. And it's from Judy Chicago, who's known for different installation art and different painting mediums of the areas that she worked a lot in before she passed away in the early 90s. But her quote is, "Once I knew that I wanted to be an artist, I had made myself into one. I did not understand that wanting doesn't always lead to action. Many women had been raised without the sense that they could mold and shape their own lives. And so wanting to be an artist, but without the ability to realize their wants, was for some of them only an idle fantasy, like wanting to go to the moon." Yeah, and so that reminds me, you'll see as you learn more about our guest and you hear from her today, you might see the connection there. But I know when I first met her, she was in single digits of age when I first met her. She might have been like 8 or 9 years old possibly, and it's been that long that I've known her. But when I got to work with her on the art side of it as she grew and in that area, was just amazing to see and see that she herself was living this quote. She had made herself into an artist whether she knew it or not, and then she started to learn how to navigate all the praise and all of the recognition that she was getting, because she is, in my mind, one of the most humble people I've met who is highly, highly successful in their field and amazing at what they do. And at such a young age, it's inspirational to see and hear from her. So as you might have guessed, today's episode is going to be about art. And more amazingly, our guest is the artist who created the logo for our show. So we had a musician on who did our intro music. And so we wanted to make sure we got our guest on for our art as well. And it is Isabella McMurray.
Okay, so we're super excited to talk to Isabella today about her art and get to know a little bit more about that world. But before we begin, I want to let our listeners know a little bit more about her. Isabella McMurray is currently a sophomore at California State University, Chico. While attending Chico State, she's pursuing her bachelor's in fine arts degree in studio art with an emphasis in digital media. Isabella's ambitions have focused on the digital illustration, animation, and the graphic design industries. Her goal is to inspire others and to open our culture's mind to the power of imagination, for she knows it has the strength to change the world.
Hi, Isabella.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, Isabella, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It was all very nice stuff you were saying about me, too.
Hey, we have to speak the truth here, you know?
Yeah.
And it is, well, it's been such a long time. I know we started talking about you being a guest probably at least over a month ago or more. We started the idea of it. And then I can even remember when we first started the idea of the podcast in general, back in really, I think it was about March or April. So it was the end of the first semester learning remotely. And I was dropping something off for your mom. And then I said, oh, Isabella, would you like to create a logo for this podcast we're doing? And I thought, well, you know, she'll think about it or whatever, but you didn't even hesitate. You were like, oh, that would be a great project to work on. So
no, yeah, I was honored to do it. And I had actually been like really getting into like logo designs and stuff like that, because for a while, like surprisingly, I was getting like mini logo commissions even in high school, and I didn't realize that I would be like open in that field of like graphic design more. So I was really interested because I knew it would just help expand my abilities and stuff. So yeah, of course I was willing to do it, and I knew you, so.
Thank you. And it is one of the wonderful things of art. I myself am a budding amateur artist in a sense. I like to do a lot of photography, and that's my main medium, but in general, just being around it a lot, I've been able to work myself on the Chico State campus in the dark room for photography for a mm-hmm. couple of years. I worked as a tech in the clay ceramic studio, and just seeing all of that, really being around artists, what you were talking about, not realizing like, oh, that's going to open up a whole new area for you. That's one of the beauties of art, is that when you're doing it and you're an artist and it's your passion, you spend a lot of time doing it, all of a sudden you're doing it in 10 different areas you never even realized you would be connected to.
Yeah. And it's definitely one of those things where you gotta remember like never to close yourself off from other possibilities, because you know, once you develop your skill and like get good enough in one area, you think you only have to be in that area, but that's actually not true. You can actually be really good in other areas because of those skills you built up in one area. So that's what I've learned in my experience in both digital mediums and traditional. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So you kind of already touched upon this, but in terms of art and kind of knowing where your talents lie, what got you into it in the first place? How did you realize that you had a passion for art?
I would say I kind of thought I had a passion for art since I was very little. Like, I can actually remember, and I usually say this to other people too, whenever they like ask me like, oh, how do you know you want to be an artist? But I remember very specifically, and this is so random, but in preschool, I remember being dropped off, and like, I think I was like the first kid there. So I was just sitting at one of the tables, like waiting for other people to come. And there was a baby wipes container like on like the other table in front of me. And I was just looking at it. and it had like a sprig of lavender on it. And I very specifically remember thinking, I wonder if I could draw that. I bet I can draw that. And I did. And I drew like fireworks around it, like this sprig of lavender. But I would say that was definitely like a catalyst to like thinking, I wonder if I can draw that, or like, I wonder if I can do that. And so yeah, whenever people ask, that's the memory I go to. And so I think that was actually the first time I thought about being an artist, or thinking about seeing the world differently through eyes of art.
Well, so I had two things popping in my mind right away. Knowing your mom, she probably still has that drawing somewhere.
I don't even know. There was like a huge pile for like many years of art from preschool to, I would say, at least like sixth grade or something. But I don't know if we have that anymore. I mean, to me.
Yeah, that would be great to run across that one day.
I know. I think we got rid of it because there was so much and I was producing more still. And I've learned over the years that art is kind of like, visuals can be temporary. And so I actually began not really caring if art got messed up or something, or like if something got torn, or if someone asked me to have a picture, I would be like, yeah, sure. And they're like, but you worked so hard on this. It's like, actually, yeah, you can have it. Cause I knew I was going to produce more and it would be better. Like, I would hope it would be better, but, it's kind of one of those things, right? I guess I never really looked back, or I never worried about if I was better then or if I'm better now. So yeah, it's just all, I've always just been progressing forward. So never really thought about my old art too much.
And the second thing that popped into my mind was how impressive that is at such a young age to be so focused on something that, I mean, I'm, you know, I work with people and I know friends and family who are in their 30s and 40s and they're still trying to find something that they're that passionate about. So that's impressive and, you know, very exciting to hear.
Yeah.
So another question then to get into with you is, it's kind of a two-part one and maybe the same question just phrased differently twice, but who, besides lavender, who inspires you in your art, and or are there artists you look up to?
Well, I guess, you know, other than the sprig of lavender, I guess when I was that young, I never really thought about role models, because to me, art wasn't really something I was aware of at that point. And like, I knew about it, but I didn't really like know what it was according to like societal standards. I just knew what it meant to me, or like what it was becoming to me. So it was like it was becoming its own entity in my mind. So I never really thought about, oh, who's my role model, or like, well, who should I look up to? Because it's like, in my mind, I was the only one I looked to, because it was something that became internal to me rather than like, oh, how other people will see it, or who I want to see it. So, and I would say that kind of connects to the quote that I told you about Michelangelo. Because I will say, probably what I learned, because it was so internal, and growing up as a Christian, so I very much base my art and like how I feel about it off of my faith, because I believe my truest inspiration is from God. And how that relates to the Michelangelo quote is that the way Michelangelo described his art is that it's as if it's already there. It's not really something he made himself. It was something that maybe he knew was there and he went to go discover it. And to me, God is the original, like he's the one who created everything. Like he has the biggest imagination, right? So he has already created all these things and he decided to put them in my mind. It's just up to me to go find them, to go carve them out, to bring them out of the stone or out of the recesses of my subconscious or something. And So to me, my art, I guess, was never my own. It's always something that belonged to God, and I was just honored to be able to show it to the world. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing it with everyone else and the power of imagination, because I honestly think that is one of the greatest gifts God gave us, was to be able to create, to be able to imagine worlds and people, like to bring life, because that's what he did.
Yeah, I appreciate, I think that's amazing that you have such like a profound passion and understanding and belief with around your art. And I feel like that has taken you such a long way in terms of creating what you're creating and continue to do so. And for being an artist, what have you found throughout your trajectory has been the positive benefits of doing what you do?
Well, I mean, I think part of like, say, a positive benefit for me is that I'm not too hard on myself, I guess, when it comes to how good or not my art is. I know a lot of artists, especially young artists, are really concerned about how good their art is compared to the rest of the world, because the art industry is very competitive, right? And there's so many good artists out there. But I think because of my understanding, or like my belief about my art and what it means to me, and that it's not really my own, or at least it's not like something that I have to be great at. It's not something that has to be like the best thing that anyone has ever seen. I don't expect that of myself. And I think because of that, it actually helps my art be more true to what it is or what it can be. And I never really have actually compared myself to anybody else, which is something that probably many people would be surprised to think, because it's like, oh, you know, there's so many artists out there, as I said. But I think because that I don't compare myself either, as well as my, you know, internal feelings about my art, I think I have an easier time because of my own mentality. But yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
It definitely, and I think for me, being fortunate enough to see some of your growth firsthand, even though it's been in small increments, only for like a year at a time, working on a certain project or hearing from you and seeing you grow, but not comparing yourself. Obviously, like you said, the art world is very competitive, and mm-hmm. and I like to brag about you because of your willingness and, like you said, your philosophy of like, this is for me to share with the world and make sure I get it out there because I like it and I want, and other people might be inspired by it. Other people might really appreciate it for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the last few years, I know you've been a recipient and awarded different types of recognition from statewide, where you were at the top of different competitions across the state of California, to also a national competition where, and correct me if I'm wrong, right? But one of your pieces was hanging in Washington, D.C. Yeah. for a whole year. And what building was it hanging in? Remind me.
It was in the Capitol, and it was in the Cannon Tunnel. The congressman would go between buildings or something. But yeah, I was hanging in there for a year, and mine wasn't the only art. Everyone who applied to the contest and who won first place, because only first place winners would get the honor in their district. So every state, but I won first for District 1 in California, which was actually really amazing, because I think, isn't District 1 the biggest district in California? I think it is, isn't it?
It's up there. I'm not sure if it is up there, but.
Well, either way, I was amazed because I actually had another competition going on as I was submitting that image. And I actually had a lot of help from my Inspire high school teachers, which were really amazing. Like my digital media teacher specifically but he helped me like submit it. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I was thinking about the other competition. So I kind of hadn't paid much attention to it. But actually when I was in that other competition, I placed, but I didn't place first. So I didn't get to go to nationals for that other competition. And I guess I'll say it's called Skills USA. It's basically like this huge national competition about like hard work and team skills and stuff. And I was in the t-shirt design category, but anyway, I placed third in that. And of course I was a little disappointed and I was like, oh man, I can't go to nationals. But right after that, when we got back home and stuff, that was when I learned I won first for the National Congressional Art Competition, which is the one that goes to DC. So as soon as I learned that, I realized that if I had won first for, say, the Skills USA competition, I would have had to choose between that or the DC one. And of course, I would choose the DC one, but it was just kind of like, you know, like fate that I lost that one, or I didn't lose, but I didn't place high enough for the Skills USA, but yet I placed first for the other one. So it was just, it was meant to be, really. But yeah.
Yeah, right. Quick research, you know, as far as acreage, District 8 looks like it might be the largest in California. District 1 is right behind it as far as size of land.
Yeah. Then, I wasn't sure which one was which, but I was just like, man, I bet a lot of people like applied to the other one. So that's why I was really surprised.
It's great, definitely. And so in sharing your art, you've kind of touched on the next question a little bit, but do you have a mission or goals with your art?
I would say I definitely do. For me, it's more about emotion and feeling, which I guess many artists would say about their art, of course. But for me specifically, as I've said, I really put a lot of importance on imagination and stuff. But specifically what imagination can do for people and for for the world. Because when you imagine things, you're basically hoping for something else or like for something new, for something different. And to me, imagination also coincides with hope, which has also been always really important to me. And when it comes to the emotion, a lot of my work or kind of the stories behind my art, I have always really put hope in the centerfold of it all. And it's because I basically want to share hope in the world, because other than imagination, I also think hope is one of the most important things to the world, to society. And without hope, I think we would just feel really hopeless. But just to me, it's like the world is so full of, you know, darkness and stuff like that, like in a poetic sense, I'll put it like that. But to me, imagination and its hope that it brings, it's like a light. And this was actually a concept in one of my first digital paintings that I did like many years ago before I even went into high school. But I want to bring that light into the darkness and make the darkness light. So, you know, many people think about running out of the darkness into the light, but I actually want to bring the light with me into the darkness. So that's really important to me. And I want to help people with my art, and I'm not like trying to be a savior or anything. It's really just about letting people know that there's more and that there's so much within imagination, and that art is really it's really special. It's really hard for me to kind of describe this stuff, I guess. I've never really said this out loud to like a lot of people. This has like always been really internal. So I guess I'm still trying to find the words, but yeah, I'd say that's the basic thing.
I think that was beautifully said, to be honest. I think how you view art in general and your art and just that whole culture of what encompasses art and how you brought it up is a lot of people can relate in terms of what aspect of art they're talking about, but I feel like the way you put it is beautifully said. And I would say, especially right now where we're at, I feel like more people are now starting to appreciate the power and the beauty of what is art and how it really helps us out during this time. Like, and I would specifically just point out like quarantine, like not being able to, you know, what do people turn to, or what are the majority of us trying to do to kind of keep ourselves grounded and keep ourselves in a good place as we are turning to the different forms of art, whether that's music or, you know, anything like that. So I feel like it's starting to be, it's growing on people, and people are seeing the importance of it and why it is that we need it because of everything else that surrounds just the culture of art and, you know, the risk of education defunding it and things like that, which is terrible for the younger generations and even our generations now of students who are finding their passion within that. I have a personal question, something I was thinking about when you were talking, but so I want to ask, in terms of, I'll preface this with why, because so when I in college, I was I graduated with my bachelor's in Latino-Latina studies, right? And so a lot of the times people would ask me, what are you going to do with that degree? Like, where is that going to take you? What is it going to do for you? Right. Mm-hmm. And that question would really upset me because I knew what my passion was in regarding following that area of study. I knew what I wanted to do. And I kind of felt in the sense of just because others can't see it or others don't see the value of learning, you know, like the study of my culture, it doesn't mean I felt upset having to prove that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of, my sentiments have changed over time, but I'm curious to know for you, when people ask what you're studying or what you're doing or what your goals are, what are the different reactions you've gotten and how have you kind of maintained yourself during, if you've gotten any reactions that have upset you in terms of what you want to do and what you're doing now?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And, you know, I admire, like from what you said, I admire your tenacity to just, you know, stand up to those people and to just keep doing what you're doing, and same with anyone else who has ever run into those troubles in whatever degree. But because I think that's really important. But in terms of what you asked, I would say the first time I've ever gotten like a reaction or something, it's actually in sixth grade, when I remember very specifically, you know, one of my friends asked, what do you want to do, you know, and stuff. And I just said, I want to go to college, get my bachelor's degree in art. I said, like, you know, a really good art college, or I said a really like a private art school or something. That was before I realized how expensive everything is. But I said, like, I want to go to an art college, get my bachelor's degree in art, and then if I can, or if I get the opportunity, get a master's degree so that I become a master. But and then I said, and then I want to get a career in art, you know. It sounds generic now, but at the time my friend was like, wow, you really felt that, like you really thought about that. But I've never really had a negative reaction, I guess. Whenever people, I mean, I've grown up in a really supportive and loving family, so whenever they've asked me about, like when I was younger and then growing up, whenever they've asked me like how I was doing or what are my plans, I think because of how serious I always was about my art and how determined, no one ever really dared to hold me back. So, and even from friends and classmates throughout school and stuff, no one's ever actually questioned me on why or what I wanted to do. I have had people like jokingly say they hate me because of my art, like because I guess how good it is or something, which I never really understood why people would react like that. I knew they weren't being mean. It was just something about like when I would show my art to some people, they would just stare at it, or sometimes their reaction would be like, I hate you or something. And I'm just like, oh, okay. But I've never, I guess I've never really felt down about what other people thought about me, or I've never really worried about that. Cause like, again, as I said before, my art, what I feel about it is very internal. And I think it's so solidly placed within like my psyche and my, you know, internally. I guess it's, I don't know if it's really about confidence. Maybe it is. But I've never been deterred from what I wanted to do. And I don't think, no matter what anyone would say, I wouldn't care. I would still go for what I wanted to do with my art. So maybe people have said something to me where it's like, I guess maybe it could be upsetting, but I've never seen anything like that. Like, I've never seen what people said about me as negative or in any way.
I think that's great. I think you've already established yourself as kind of obviously what you want to do and who you are, and in your art particularly. So you're right away, you know, you give off that presence that you have a really strong foundation, a strong passion in what you're doing. And it's very hard to knock someone down who's like that. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And all those things are extremely important that you have shared about your art. And I think some of it is important, obviously, for yourself, but then also for people who are listening who want to be artists or who mm-hmm. want to follow what you and Teresa have said about your choices, that want to follow something that they're really passionate about and they really are love and want to learn more about and become that much more knowledgeable and of an expert, if you will, in a certain area. So those are great messages. Mm-hmm. Also, when you were answering, one thing I was thinking, and you said it, sort of as I was thinking it around the same time that you have been very blessed to be in a family that has nothing but unconditional support and love for you to help you. And we know that's not the case all the time for everybody. So that's been, I know, one thing that even when we first met and started talking, and I met your mom and have met your family, and I've met every one of your siblings, and just that's a very deep rooted message inside of your family. I even was, you know, got to talk to your grandpa a number of times. And so that's, I think that's one benefit. And it also comes through in the artwork that I have seen of yours. You can see in some of them that it is about this tender, caring, nurturing compassion in some of your pieces. One piece that stands out to me that I really, and it's interesting in the stuff that I like usually for art and the style of photography I like to do and all those kind of things. You have a piece called Do You Want to Talk About It? And it's this it's this very like loving part about a relationship where it's this bear, a fairly large bear, and it's kind of sauntering into the forest with a little tiny rabbit. And it's like, they're getting ready to have this conversation about, hey, you want to talk about it? So that's kind of the feeling and the message I get of like, hey, I'm here for you no matter what's going on. I want to support mm-hmm. you. And in the picture, when I look at it, I see the message as the rabbit talking to the bear saying, hey, I know you're upset, but do you want to talk about this? You know, so.
Yeah, that actually is kind of what the idea was. That's actually something between my brother and I, because in my family, we always associate my one of my brothers with a big bear because he is like a tall, big man himself. Yes, and I am supposed to be like the rabbit because me and one of my brothers have always had like a really, I'd say a special relationship. And ironically, we kind of like look the most alike. Because I mean, I will say I have a different father from my siblings. But my brother and I have always had a really kind of special relationship, and we're kind of like the twins because even our birthdays are only a day apart. And so I'd say, yeah, that's a good example of how much love my family has for me and how much they want to like relate to me and stuff through my art. And all of them are kind of artists in their own way. So art has always kind of run through the family. So I guess that's why it's always been really heavily supported by everyone and much loved. And I'd say because of that unconditional love, that is part of the reason why I have also developed an unconditional love for and within my art.
Yeah, that's great. And to speak a little bit to Isabella talking about her patience and not judging herself so much, working on her senior project that year was about 3 years ago now. And it was a massive project. We worked on it for months and consulted, and you did different renditions of it. And then as it got towards the very end and we were getting ready to print copies of it, boom, the world of technology threw a big black stripe across the middle of this, and she couldn't figure out how to get it to go away. And it the project was an amazing like movie poster of her entire family, everybody represented in a certain image of what she was kind of talking about, how they have their own ways of in the family of kind of describing each other and thinking about each other. But it was an amazing movie poster. And then it was like, what, 48 hours or so, maybe 3 days, maybe 72 hours. And you were like, I'm just going to have to redo the whole thing now. And she busted the whole thing out, and it ended up being amazing. And she wasn't down. She wasn't, hard on herself. She's like, this is the way art works. This is art. And so I got to make it because it's important for her family and everybody. And so then she got that finished, and it was impressive. Mm-hmm. And I know from hearing from a couple of people in her family how much they appreciated it and loved it, of just the time and thought that was put into for something for them. Because most of your art is usually not for your family. It's for many other things. But if you all are listening and you're interested, you can go to our website, firstgenoneofmany.com. The link will be in the show notes, of course. If you're already listening on the website, then you're there. At the top of our website, we have a link to our artists. And so there's a link that goes to Ivan Paredes, our musician, his, and you can also then go to Isabella McMurray, and you can see about 10 of her photos we've uploaded into a gallery in there. And if you want to see the one that was up in the nation's capital, it is called I Am Columbia. I guess the easiest way to explain it in a sense is it's a fierce portrait of a woman, sort of the sense of flying almost through the air, and she's been through battles and has scars and cuts, and she's got this look on her face of I'm determined to protect at all costs.
Colombia is actually, like, from a historical perspective, Colombia is the historical personification of America. Many countries actually have their own kind of personifications of like their motherland, a lot of them are always based off of like the goddess Athena, because she's like the goddess of wisdom and strength, and everyone always associates like land and stuff with a woman or mothers or something, like the motherland. So Columbia was America's old personification of America, and she was always deemed the kind but strong and determined and unafraid version, even almost like better and more wise and strong than like Uncle Sam and stuff, which is a very, common representation that we think about more often now. But Columbia is actually what became Lady Liberty. So Columbia was the first one. And yeah, on my website, I actually do talk about more about what the picture means. But yeah, I Am Columbia was a really special one for me.
Great. And so what is your website that listeners can go to?
Oh my gosh, this is a bad time. I don't have the business card with me. It's on Wix. Like, I made the website on Wix like in my junior year of high school. And because I don't own the website really, like I'm not paying for it, like a subscription or something, I don't have my own URL. So I actually don't remember the URL because it's like a really long one. Okay. So I guess I'll have to like send it to you and then you can post it also on your thing. But sorry, I don't remember it by heart.
Hey, you need other space in your brain for other things.
Yeah.
And so if you, once you get that to us, we'll add it to our show notes. So then people can click on that in the link as well. So a final question, you mentioned sort of you want to bring hope and light and add these things. And so during the last 9 months, you know, of everything with the pandemic and with remote learning and with different things happening in your family and around the local community here as well, we're interested to know what is a piece or what are some things that you want to share that you're working on, or would you like to even talk about them or wait until they're all done?
I mean, I have, I guess I've just been so absorbed with school lately because it's been like the only thing in my life because of quarantine and stuff. It's like the only thing you can focus on because, you know, the rest of life doesn't really exist at this much, except for like at Costco and Safeway. But I haven't, this like, as I was saying to you actually before, you know, you guys started recording, was that I finally have had the time to do more of my own art, but I haven't really done any like, you know, big pieces yet. I've just started doing, well, I mean, I just finished doing one, but it's actually a gift for someone else, but it's not a digital piece. It's actually a line art. I mean, it's a traditional ink piece where I used like black ink to make the line art of this image, but it's supposed to be like a traditional Japanese art piece. Okay. And it's a gift for someone else. And I plan like putting like cool gold leaf on it, which I've actually never worked with before. Really? So I'm excited about that. But unfortunately, I don't have any exciting and deep, meaningful pieces to talk about right now.
Hey, right. The ebbs and flows of life.
Yeah.
So yeah. I got this great gift over the holidays. It's about urban legends. And so I found one that's good. It's about graphic designing. Mm. So I thought I would share it. Now, here you go. The maple leaf on the Canadian flag has 11 points, 1 point for each province and an additional point for their territories. Fact or urban legend?
I don't think the Canadian flag has 11 points on the maple leaf.
No, it does. That's the fact. That's true. But is what it's saying like, so it has one point for each province and an additional point for the territories. Is this fact or urban legend?
Well, as I clearly kind of just like proved, I've never really looked at the Canadian flag that closely.
Right. So, Teresa?
Urban legend, maybe.
Okay.
I know nothing about Canada and whether or not it even has provinces, or so I will plead the fifth and yield to whatever the correct answer is.
Okay, so I guess if we have any Canadian listeners, sorry that we don't know much more about your flag, but urban legend.
Ah, that's right.
The fact the maple leaf has 11 points is completely coincidental. A previous design was nearly identical, but had two additional points at the bottom of the leaf. When criticism came back that the leaf was too busy, the designer removed 2 points and the flag was approved.
Hmm.
So, right? And you were talking about doing your own work and doing work for school and for different people sometimes. And even in the process of creating our logo, we didn't end up with the original one. And so this designer, in that case, I thought it was interesting that I found this card to share on this day, because the designer had to compromise what they wanted in their original draft based on other people's thoughts and ideas. So anyway, I thought that'd be good to share.
When it comes to commissions, you definitely have to expect changes to happen. And because that's, you know, the professional thing to do. But a lot of the time, and I will say, like, as advice to any other artists who are getting commissions, or like maybe they're unfamiliar still with it, though, don't be afraid to like tell the client that that this is not going to look good. I've had like some experience before where sometimes someone would want something to look a certain way. And I would say kindly, and maybe more like as a suggestion, like a wise suggestion rather than like, no, you're not going to do that. Is like, you know, this is a good idea, but this actually would look better or something like that. So I would say good advice is definitely don't think that the client, like, I know everyone always says like the client is always right or the customer is always right, but actually when it comes to art, the client isn't always right. So that's just part of my experience. It's kind of funny because it basically juxtaposes a lot of other things and like say other business work or something, but with art it's very specifically that the client isn't always right.
And that actually then wraps up what we were about to ask, if you have any recommendations. So that you gave us a recommendation before we even got to it.
I've just been predicting everything that you guys are going to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess other recommendations, because that one's not really like special or anything, but that overall is, and this is something I've actually run into with many friends and special people to me, where they are artists themselves, but they have had a hard time being, well, confident or feeling secure in their art and what they're able to do. And I've told them all this too, but I guess for here and my recommendations is also don't think you're done learning. Don't think that how you are able to draw now is how you will always be able to draw, or that you think that you're going to be stuck or something. Because even for myself, I am not done learning, and I will never be done learning. Even if many people think that my art is really awesome right now, for me, it'll never be enough. And don't see it as like an obsessive nature or like, oh, I have to get better, because if I don't get better, then I won't be happy with myself. It's not like that. It's more about being kind to yourself, but also always remembering the excitement of art and the joy that it can bring. Because if you lose that, if you lose the childlike nature and imagination and like the special kind of magicalness that art and imagination and hope can bring, you will, I feel like that is where many artists will lose themselves. And it's the same with, as you do break into careers where it is very art focused, but also it's very rigorous and very difficult. And you constantly have to deal with people telling you what to do and what to draw and stuff like that. That is a very relatable thing. And I know I'm going to run into that in the future. So I will have to deal with that. But as well, when it comes to, as you get older and more advanced, say, you will also come across other older people who are also advanced and or better than you even. And I know I will definitely come across that, especially where in the industry where I want to go, because I want to go into the entertainment industry with specifically like concept design and stuff. And there are many, many concept designs or illustrations that are way better than mine. But I don't see them as, oh, I'm not as good as that. I will never be as good as that. Oh man, like that sucks. To me, I see it as almost like a challenge where, hey, that is really good, but I wonder if I can do better. Or like, I wonder if I can be that good or if better. So don't ever compare yourself. Don't think that you're never going to get better, because as soon as you start comparing yourself and thinking about other people's art as you're doing your own art, you're going to be creating other people's art and not your own. So just don't lose yourself.
I think that's,
I love it.
Yeah, I like that recommendation. And I feel like you could also take it, even if our listeners, you know, aren't up and coming artists, I feel like in any field that you're in, you can definitely take that advice and stay true to yourself and stay authentic, yeah. Whatever it is that you got yourself into, or why you're in the certain profession that you're in because of that passion. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, please go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just wanted to say, because I know it's probably kind of like cliche, like don't lose yourself, but it's more about remembering what makes you special, because your art is your art and it will never be anyone else's art. Yeah, sure, some other person's art, maybe you like their art better than your own, but just remember what makes your art special will never be what makes other people's art special. And it's not just about the visuals, it's about how you feel about it. So how you feel about your art and what makes you happy when it comes to your own art or whatever profession or whatever work you do, especially, well, at least in the creative approach, that will never be what other people have. What you have with your art is the only thing that will spur you on, and no other people, no one else would be able to experience that. So I'd say that no matter what you do, as you say, that's really important. It's about emotion. It's about how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. And I agree. And I think that with that, we can leave our listeners and have mm-hmm. them just make sure that they honestly follow your advice and listen to what you're saying about staying true to themselves. And we don't have a follow-up for that, because I think that is the perfect place to kind of keep it at, and for others to also feel inspired, hopefully, by listening to this. And if we talk a lot about Isabella's art on this episode, so definitely our recommendation on my behalf and Josh's is for you all to check out her work on our website. The link will be in the show notes, and just check it out, and hopefully that inspires you to kind of navigate yourself and explore different mediums of art, different artists, and anything like that, you know, and being able to explore new things if that's not already something that you do. And we would just like to say thank you, Isabella, for joining us today. We had an amazing time getting to know more about you and your art, and hopefully in the future we can listen back to this episode and say, hey, we know her.
Yeah, or I'll be like, oh gosh, I said that.
Yeah, thank you for being here, Isabella.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. I mean, I hope, I know I get in my own head sometimes, but I hope I said like some good stuff that made sense.
Oh, most definitely. I wouldn't even worry about that.
Okay, thank you.
And yeah. I would say goodbye to our listeners. And thanks again for joining us. We are First Generation, One of Many.